Oh, The Saint's Spiritual Delight by Thomas Watson. Text, Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Chapter 1, showing that negative goodness is but a broken title to heaven. As the book of Canticles is called the Song of Songs by, in Hebraism, it being the most excellent, so the psalm may not unfitly be entitled the Psalm of Psalms. For it contains in its very pith and quintessence, of Christianity. What Hiram saith of St. Paul's epistles, the same may I of this psalm. It is short for the composure, but full of length and strength for the matter. This psalm carries blessedness in the front piece. It begins where we all hope to end. It may well be called a Christian's guide, for it discovers the quicksands where the wicked sink down in perdition. Verse 1, and the firm ground on which the saints tread to glory. Verse 2, the text is an epitome and breviary of religion. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Every word hath its emphasis. I begin with the first word, but. This but is full of spiritual wine. We will broach it and taste a little, then proceed. But. This is a term of opposition. The godly man is described by way of negation, one. One, by way of negation in three particulars. One, he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He is none of their counsel. He neither gives bad counsel nor takes it. Two, he standeth not in the way of sinners. He will not stand among those who shall not be able to stand in the judgment. Verse 5. Three, he sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Let it be a chair of state, he will not sit in it. He knows it will prove very uneasy at last. The word sitteth implies, number one, a small one, a habit in sin. Psalm 120, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Two, sitting implies familiarity with sinners. Psalm 24:4, I have not sat with vain persons. That is, I do not haunt their company. The godly man shakes off all intimacy with the wicked. He may traffic with them, not associate. He may be civil to them as neighbors, but not twist into a cord of friendship. Diamonds and stones may lie together, but they will not solder and cement. S-O-L-D-E-R and cement. Solder and cement. Two. The godly man is described by way of position, or rather opposition. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. From this word, but, observe. The negative goodness is not sufficient to entitle us to heaven. To be no scorner is good, but it is not enough. There are some in the world whose religion runs all upon negatives. They are not drunkards, they are not swearers. And for this they do bless themselves. See how that Pharisee vapors? Luke 18:11. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, etc. Alas, the not being scandalous will no more make a good Christian than a cipher will make a sum. The godly man goes further. He sits not in the seat of the scorner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. We are bid not only to cease from evil, but to do good. Psalm 34:14. It will be a poor plea at last, Lord. I kept myself from being spotted with gross sin. I did no hurt. But what good is there in thee? It is not enough for the servant of the vineyard that he doth no hurt there. He doth not break the trees or destroy the hedges. If he doth not work in the vineyard, he loses his pay. It is not enough for us to say at the last day, we have done no hurt. We have lived in no gross sin. But what good have we done in the vineyard? Where is the grace we have gotten? If we cannot show this, we shall lose our pay and miss of salvation. Use. Do not content yourselves with the negative part of religion. Many build their hopes for heaven upon this cracked foundation. They are given to no vice. None can charge them with any foul miscarriages. And these are their letters of credence to show. To such persons I say three things. Number one, you may not be outwardly bad, and yet not inwardly good. You may be as far as grace as from vice. though none can say black as your eye, yet your soul may be dyed black. Though your hands be not working iniquity, your heads may be plotting it. Though you do not hang out on your bush, you may secretly vend your commodity. A tree may be full of vermin, yet the fair leaves may cover them, and they are not seen. So the fair leaves of civility may hide you from the eye of man. But God sees the vermin of pride, unbelief, covetousness in your heart. Ye are they, say Christ, that justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. Luke 16:15. A man may not be morally evil, yet not spiritually good. He may be free from gross enormity, yet full of secret enmity against God. Like the snake, which though it be of fine color, yet have its sting. Number two. If you are only negatively good, God makes no reckoning of you. You are as so many ciphers in God's arithmetic, and he writes down no ciphers in the book of life. Take a piece of brass. Though it be not so bad metal as lead or iron, yet not being so good as silver, there is nothing reckoning made of it. It will not pass for current coin. Though thou art not profane, thou art not of the right metal, wanting the stamp of holiness upon thee. That will never pass current. God slights thee. Thou art not but a brass Christian. Number three. A man may as well go to hell for not doing good as for doing evil. He that bears not good fruit is as well fuel for hell as he that bears bad fruit. Matthew 3:10. Every tree which beareth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. One may as well die with not eating food as of poison. A ground may be spoiled for want of good seed, as having cares sown in it, that they were not active in works of charity, were sadly sentenced. Depart from me, ye cursed, etc. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me no meat. Matthew 25:41-42. It is not said ye took away my meat from me, but you gave me no meat. Why were the foolish virgins shut out? They had done no hurt. They had not broken their lamps. Aye, but they took no oil in their lamps. Matthew 25:3. Their wanting oil was the indictment. Therefore, let not any man build his hope for heaven upon negatives. This is a building upon the sand. The sand is bad to build on. It will not cement. But suppose a man should finish a house upon it. What is the issue? The flood comes, etc. Persecution. And the force of this flood will drive away the sand and make the house fall. And the wind blows. The breath of the house as a mighty wind will blow such a sandy building into hell. Be afraid then to rest in private part of religion, in the privative part of religion. Launch forth further. Be eminently holy. So I come to the next words. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Chapter 2. What is meant by the law of God? What by delight in the law? And the proposition resulting. The words give a twofold description of the godly man. First, he delights in God's law. Secondly, he meditates in God's law. I begin with the first. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The great God hath grafted the affection of delight in every creature. It hath by instinct of nature something to delight itself in. Now the true saint, not by intuition, but divine inspiration, makes the law of God his delight. This is the badge of a Christian. His delight is in the law of the Lord. A man may work in his trade and not delight in it, either in regard of the difficulty of the work or the smallness of the income. But a godly man serves God with delight. It is his meat and drink to do his will. For the explication of the words, it will be inquired. Number one, what is meant by the law of the Lord? The word law may be taken either more strictly or more largely. Number one, more strictly for the Decalogue or Ten Commandments. More largely, one, for the whole written word of God. Or two, for those truths which are deduced from the word, deducted from the word, and you concenter in it. Three, for the whole business of religion, which is a counterpart of God's law and agrees with it as a transcript with the original. The word is a setting forth, and religion is a showing forth of God's law. I shall take this word in its full latitude and extent. Two, what is meant by delight in God's law? The Hebrew and Septuagint both render it, his will is in the law of the Lord. And that which is voluntary is delightful. A gracious heart serves God not with a principle of ingenuity. He makes God's law not only his task, but his recreation. Upon this scripture stock I shall graft this proposition. Doctrine. That a child of God, though he cannot serve the Lord perfectly, yet he serves him willingly. His will is in the law of the Lord. He is not a pressed soldier, but a volunteer. By the beating of this pulse, we may judge whether there be spiritual life in us or no. David professed God's law was his delight, Psalm 119:77. He had his crown to delight in. He had his music to cheer him. But the love he had to God's law did drown all other delights, as the joy of harvest and vintage exceeds the joy of gleaning. I delight in the law of God, saith St. Paul. In the inner man, Romans 7:22. The Greek word is I take pleasure. The law of God is my recreation. And it was a heart delight. It was in the inner man. A wicked man may have joy in the face, 2 Corinthians 5:12, like honeydew that vets the leaf, but the wine of God's Spirit cheers the heart. Paul delighted in the law in the inner man. Chapter 3. Whence the saint's spiritual delight springeth. The saint's delight in the law of God proceeds, one, from soundness of judgment. The mind apprehends a beauty in God's law. Now the judgment draws the affections, like so many orbs after it. The law of God is perfect, Psalm 19:7. It needs not be eked out with tradition. The Hebrew word for perfect seems to allude to a perfect entire body and wants none of the members or lineaments. God's law must be perfect, for it is able to make us wise to salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. The Septuagint renders that the law of the Lord is pure, like beauty that hath no strain or wine that is clarified and refined. The soul that looks into this law, seeing so much luster and perfection, cannot but delight in it. The middle lamp of the sanctuary being lighted from the fire of the altar gave light to all the other lamps. So the judgment being lighted from the word, it sets on fire the lamps of the affections. Number two. This holy delight arises from predominancy of grace. when grace comes with authority and majesty upon the heart, it fills it with delight. Naturally, we have no delight in God. Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Nay, there is not only a dislike, but antipathy. Sinners are called haters of God, Romans 1:30. But when grace comes into the heart, oh, what a change there is. Grace preponderates. It flies off the rebellion of the will. It makes a man of another spirit. It turns the lion-like fierceness into a dove-like sweetness. It changes hatred into delight. Grace puts a new bias into the will. It works a spontaneity and cheerfulness in God's service. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Three. This holy delight in religion is from the sweetness of the end. Well may we with cheerfulness lie down in the net of our endeavor when we have so excellent a draught. Heaven at the end of duty causeth the light in the way of duty. Chapter 4. Showing a characteristical difference between a child of God and a hypocrite. Use number 1. It shows us a discriminating difference between a child of God and a hypocrite. The one serves God from a principle of delight, the other doth not. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver, Psalm 119:72. With what delight doth the covetous man tell over his thousands? Aye, but God's law was better to David than thousands. The child of God looks upon the service of God not only as his duty, but as his privilege. A gracious heart loves everything that hath the stamp of God upon it. The word is his delight. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me a joy and rejoicing of my heart, Jeremiah 15:16. The Sabbath is his delight, Isaiah. If thou turn away thy foot from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, it's 58:13. Prayer is his delight, 56:7. I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Hearing is his delight. Who are these that fly like doves to the windows? The gracious soul flies as a dove to the rigid ordinance upon the wings of delight. The sacrament is his delight. On this day the Lord makes a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines in the lees well refined. Isaiah 25:6. A sacrament day is a soul festival day. Here Christ takes the soul of his banqueting house and displays the banner of love over it. Canticles 2:4. Here are heavenly delicacies set before us. Christ gives us his body and blood. This is angels' food. This is the heavenly nectar. This is the cup perfumed with the divine nature. Here is wine spiced with the love of God. The Jews at their feast poured ointment on their guests and kissed them. Here Christ pours the oil of gladness into the heart and kisses us with the kisses of his lips. This is the king's bath, where we wash and are cleansed of our leprosy. The withered soul, after the receiving this blessed Eucharist, hath been like a watered garden, or like those Egyptian fields after the overflowing of the Nile, fruitful and flourishing. And do you wonder that a child of God delights in holy things? He must needs be a volunteer in religion. But it is not thus with the hypocrite. He may be forced to do that which is good, but not to will that which is good. He doth not serve God with delight. Job 27:10. Will he delight himself in the Almighty? That he hath none of this complacency and delight appears thus because he serves God grudgingly. He brings a sacrifice with a wicked mind. Proverbs 21:27. Such as one as Cain. It was not long before he brought his offering. It was not the first fruits. And when he did bring it, it was grudgingly. It was not a free will offering. Deuteronomy 16:10. It is probable it was the custom of his father's family to sacrifice, and perhaps conscience might check him for bearing so long. At last the offering is brought, but how? As a task rather than as a duty. As a mote or fine rather than as a sacrifice. Cain brought his offering, but not himself. What Seneca saith of a gift, I may say of a sacrifice, it is not gold and silver makes a gift, but a willing mind. If this be wanting, the gold is only parted with, not given. So, it is not prayer and hearing makes a sacrifice, but it is a willing mind. Cain's was not an offering, but a tax, not worship, but penance. Chapter 5. Two cases of conscience resolved. But here are two cases to be put. Case 1. Whether a regenerate person may not serve God with weariness. Answer, yes. But, number 1, this delight in God is not wholly extinct. This lassitude and weariness in a child of God may arise from the in-being of corruption, Romans 7:24. It is not from the grace that is in him, but the sin, as Peter sinking on the water was not of his faith, but of his fear. Yet I say still, a regenerate person's will is for God, Romans 7:15. Paul found sometimes an interdiction to do good, Romans 7:23. Yet at the same time, he professed a complacency in God. Verse 22, I delight in the law of God, in the inner man. One may delight in music or recreation, yet through weariness of body be for the present dulled and indisposed. A Christian may love God's law, though sometimes the clog of the flesh weighing him down, he finds his former vigor and agility remitted. Answer 2. I answer that this faintness and weariness in a regenerate person is not habitual. It is not a constant temper. When the water ebbs for a while, it is low water, but there is soon a spring tide again. It is sometimes low in the Christian soul. He finds an indisposition and irksomeness to that which is good. But within a while there is a springtide of affection and the soul is carried full sail in holy duties. It is with a Christian as with a man that is distempered. When he is sick, he doth not take that delight in his food as formerly. Nay, sometimes the very sick of it offends. But when he is well, he falls to his meat again with delight and appetite. So when the soul is distempered through sadness and melancholy, it finds not that delight in word and prayer as formerly. But when it returns to its healthful temper again, now it hath the same delectability and cheerfulness in God's service as before. Answer 3. I answer that this weariness in a regenerate person is involuntary. He is troubled at it. He doth not hug his disease, but mourns under it. He is weary of his weariness. When he finds a heavenliness in a duty, he goes heavily under that heavenliness. He prays, weeps, wrestles, useth all means to regain that alacrity in God's service as he will want to have. David, when his chariot wheels were pulled off, and he did drive on heavily in religion, how oft doth he pray for a quickening grace? When the saints have found their hearts fainting, their affections flagging, and a strange kind of lethargy seizing on them, they are never at rest till they have recovered themselves and are arrived at that freedom and delight in God as they once were sensible of. Case number 2. The second case is whether a hypocrite may not serve God with delight. I answer, he may. Herod heard John the Baptist gladly, Matthew 6:20. And those that fasted for strife and debate did delight to know God's ways. A hypocrite may, out of some flashy hopes of heaven, show a delight in goodness. But yet it is not such a delight as is found in the regenerate, for his delight is carnal. A man may be carnal while he is doing spiritual things. It is not the holiness and strictness in religion that the hypocrite delights in, but something else. He delights in prayer, but it is rather the showing of his gifts he looks at than the exercise of grace. He delights in hearing, but it is not the spirituality of the word he delights in, not the savor of knowledge, but the luster. When he goes to the word preached, it is that he may rather feast his fancy than better his heart, as if a man should go to an apothecary's shop for a pill, only to see the gilding of it, not for the operative virtue. The hypocrite goes to the word to see what gilding is in it, is in a sermon, and what he may delight, and what may delight the intellect. Hypocrites come to the word as one comes into a garden to pluck some fine flower to smell to, not as a child comes to the breast for nutriment. This is rather curiosity than piety. Such were those, Ezekiel 33:32. Thou art to them as a lovely song of one that hath pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. The prophet being eloquent and having a pleasing delivery, they were much taken with it, and it was as sweet to them as a fit of music. But it was not the spirituality of the matter they so well liked as the tunableness of the voice. It was a sharp yet seasonable reproof of Chrysostom to his auditory. Quote, this is that, saith he, which is like to undo your souls. You hear your ministers as so many minstrels to please your ear, not to pierce the conscience. You see, a hypocrite's delight in religion is carnal. It is not the being nourished up in the words of faith which he minds, but the eloquence of speech, the rareness of notion, the quickness of fancy, the smoothness of style. He strives only to pluck from the tree of knowledge. Alas, poor man, thou mayest have a starlight of knowledge, and yet it may be night in thy soul. Chapter 6. Trial of a Christian's delight in God. Use 2. Trial. Let us put upon us a holy scrutiny and trial, whether we have this delight in religion. It is life or death, as we answer this. Question. How may this spiritual delight be known? Answer. 1. He that delights in God's law is often thinking of it. What a man delights in, his thoughts are still running upon. He that delights in money, his mind is taken up with it. Therefore, the covetous man is said to mind earthly things. Philippians 3:19. Thus, if there be a delight in the things of God, the mind will be still musing upon them. Oh, what a rare treasure is the word of God. It is a field where the pearl of price is hid. How precious are the promises. They are the conduit that holds the water of life. They are like those two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes did empty the golden oil out of themselves. Zechariah 4:12. They seal up pardon, adoption, glory. Oh, Lord, by these things men live. Isaiah 38:16. Where there is a delight in the law of God, the mind is wholly busied upon it. 2. If we delight in religion, there is nothing that can keep us from it. But we will be conversant in word, prayer, sacraments. He that loves gold will trade for it. The merchant will compass sea and land to make money his proselyte. Men will not be kept from their fares. If there be a delight in holy things, we will not be detained from an ordinance, for there we are trafficking for salvation. If a man were hungry, he would not stay from the market for the arching of his finger. The ordinances are a gospel market, and those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will not for every slight occasion stay away. I was glad when they said, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Thou art glad when the devil helps thee with an excuse to absent thyself from the house of the Lord, art far from this holy delight. 3. Those that delight in religion are often speaking of it. They that fear the Lord spake often to one another. Malachi 3:16. Where there is grace infused, it will be effusive. The words of the wise man's mouth are gracious. Ecclesiastes 12:10. David delighted in God's testimonies, would speak of them before kings. The spouse delighteth in her beloved, could not conceal her love, but breaks forth into the most pathetical and no less extravagant expressions. My beloved is white and ruddy. The chiefest among 10,000, his head is full of fine gold, etc. The disciples whose hearts were upon Christ make him the whole substance of their discourse, as if they were going to Emmaus, Luke 24:19. the primitive Christians who were filled, fired with the love to God, did speak so much of heaven that the kingdom prepared that the emperor suspected they meant to take his kingdom from him. Words are the looking glass of the mind. They show what is in the heart. Where there is spiritual delight like new wine, it will have vent. Grace is poured into thy lips. A man that is of the earth speaketh of the earth, John 3:31. He can hardly speak three words, but two of them are about earth. His mouth, like the fish in the gospel, is full of gold, Matthew 17:27. So where there is a delight in God, our tongues will be as a pen of a ready writer. This is a scripture touchstone to try men's hearts by. Alas, it shows how little they delight in God, because they are possessed with a dumb devil. They speak not the language of Canaan. Number four. He that delights in God will give him the best in every service. Him who we love best shall have the best. The spouse delighteth in Christ will give him of her pleasant fruits. Canticle 7:13. If she hath a cup of spiced wine and full of the juice of the pomegranate, he must drink of it. Canticles 8:2. He that delights in God gives him the strength of his affections, the cream of his duties. If he hath anything better than other, God shall have it. Hypocrites care not what they put God off with. They offer to the Lord that which cost them nothing. A prayer that cost them no wrestling, no pouring out of the soul. 1 Samuel 1. They put no cost in their services. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Genesis 4:3. It is observable that Holy Ghost doth not mention anything that might commend or set off Cain's sacrifice. When he comes to speak of Abel's, he sets an emphasis upon it. Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, verse 4. But when he speaks of Cain, he only saith he brought of the fruit of the ground. Some sorry thing perhaps pulled out of the ditch. God, who is best, will be served with the best. Domitian would not hold a statue carved in wood or iron, but in gold. God will have the best of our best things, golden services. He who delights in God gives him the fat of the offering, the purest of his love, the hottest of his zeal. And when he hath done all, he grieves, he can do no more. He blushes to see such an infinite disproportion between deity and duty. 5. He that delights in God doth not much delight in anything else. The world appears as an eclipse. Paul delighted in the law of God, in the inner man, and how was he crucified to the world, Galatians 6:14. It is not absolutely unlawful to delight in the things of the world, Deuteronomy 26:11. Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given thee. None may better take the comfort of these things than believers, for they have the best right to them. They hold them in capite, and they shall have the dew of the blessing distilled. Take 2 talents, said Naaman to Gehazi, 2 Kings 5:23. So saith God to the believer, take 2 talents, take thy outward comforts, and take my love with them. But the children of God, though they are thankful for which is the yearly rent they sit at, if they are not much taken with these things, they use them only as a conveniency for their passage. They know the need. They need them as a staff to walk with. But when they shall sit down in the kingdom of heaven and rest themselves, they shall have no use of this Jacob's staff. Believers do not much pray for these things which are still passing. Their delight is chiefly in God and his law. And it is thus. Have we this low opinion of an uncommon comforts? Is the price fallen? The astronomer saith, if it were possible for a man to be lifted up as high as the moon, the earth should seem to him but as a little point. If we should be lifted up to heaven in our affections, all earthly delights would seem as nothing. When the woman of Samaria had met with Christ, down goes the pitcher. She leaves that behind. He who delights in God as having tasted the sweetness in him doth not much mind the pitcher. He leaves the world behind. 6. True delight is constant. Hypocrites have their pains of desire, the flashes of joy, which are soon over. The Jews did rejoice in John's light for a season, John 5:35. Unsound hearts may delight in the law of the Lord for a season, but they will quickly change their note. What a weariness it is to serve the Lord. The chrysolite, which is of a golden color in the morning, is very bright to look at, but towards noon it grows dull and hath lost its splendor. Such are the glistening shows of hypocrites. True delight, like the fire of the altar, neither goes out. Affliction cannot extirpate it. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Chapter 7. Assuasive to this holy delight in religion. Use 1. Exhort. Let me persuade Christians to labor for this holy delight. Comment upon the text. Let your light delight be in the law of the Lord. And that I may better enforce the exhortation, I shall lay before you several weighty considerations. Number one, there is that in the law of God which may cause delight, as will appear in two things. There is in it, number one, truth. Number two, goodness. Number one, truth. The law of God is a series of truth. Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. The two testaments are the two lips by which the truth, God of truth, has spoken to us. Here is a firm basis for truth. Number two, goodness. Nehemiah 9:13. Thou gavest them true laws, good statutes. Here's truth and goodness, the one adequate to the understanding, the other to the will. Now this goodness and excellency of the law of God shines forth in nine particulars. Number one, this blessed law of God is a letter sent to us from heaven, indicted by the Holy Ghost and sealed with the blood of Christ. See some passages in the latter in Isaiah. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. And Hosea 2:19. I'll betroth thee unto me forever in righteousness and in loving kindness and in mercies. Is it not delightful reading over this love letter? Number two, the law of God is light that shines in the dark place. 2 Peter 1:19. It is our pole star to guide us to heaven. It was David's candle and lantern to walk with. Psalm 119:105. How light is sweet, Ecclesiastes 11:7. It is sad to want this light. Those heathens who have not had not the knowledge of God's law must needs stumble to hell in the dark. Hiram brings in Tully with his oratory, Aristotle with his syllogisms, crying out in hell. They that leave the light of the word, following the light within them, as some speak, prefer the shining of the glowworm before the sun. Number three, the law of God is a spiritual glass to dress our souls by. Davidoff looked himself in this glass and got much wisdom. Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. This glass to show us our spots and takes them away. It may be compared to the laver which is made of the woman's looking glasses. Exodus 38:8. It was both a glass and a laver, a glass to look in and a laver to wash in. So the law of God is a glass to show us our faces and a laver to wash away our spots. Four, this law of God contains in it our evidences for heaven. Would we know whether we are heirs of the promise? Whether our names are written in heaven? We must find it in this law book. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he hath chosen us to salvation through sanctification. 1 John 2:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And it is not comfortable reading over our evidences. Number five, the law of God is a place of ammunition out of which we must fetch our spiritual artillery to fight against Satan. It may be compared to the Tower of David, building for an armory, wherein they hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men, Canticles 4:4. It's called the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:16. It is observable when the devil tempted our Savior, he runs to Scripture for armor. It is written three times, Christ wounds the serpent with this sword, Matthew 4:4, etc. It is not good having our armor about us. Is it not good having our armor about us when the enemy is in the field? Number six, the law of God is our spiritual psychic book, or our book of receipts. Basil compares the word of God to apothecary's shop, which hath its pan, pharmacon. Where there is any disease growing in the soul, here is a recipe to take. If we find ourselves dead in duty, here is a recipe. Psalm 119:50. Thy word hath quickened me. If our hearts be hard, there is a recipe. Is not my word as fire? Jeremiah 23:29. This is able to melt the rock into tenderness. If we grow proud, here is the recipe. Number one, Peter 5:5. God resists the proud. If there be any flesh, fresh guilt contracted, here we have a sovereign medicine to take. John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy truth. The law of God is a psychic garden where we may walk and gather any herb to expel the poison of sin. A physic garden. Seven, the law of God is a divine treasury to enrich us. Here are the riches of knowledge and the riches of assurance to be found. Colossians 2:2. If this law of God are scattered many truths as precious diamonds to adorn the hidden man of the heart. David took the law of God as his heritage. Psalm 119:111. In this blessed mind is hid the true pearl. Here we dig till we find heaven. Number eight, the law of God is our cordial in fainting times. It is a strong cordial. Hebrews 6:18. That we might have strong consolation. They are strong consolations indeed that can sweeten affliction, that can turn water into wine, that can stand against the fiery trial. Psalm 119:50. This is my comfort in affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The comforts of the world are weak consolations. A man hath comfort in health, but let sickness come. Where is his comfort then? He hath comfort in an estate, but let poverty come. Where is this comfort then? These are weak consolations. They cannot bear up against trouble. But the comforts of the world are strong. They can sweeten the waters of Marah. Let sickness come, the comforts of the word. That should say word. But the comforts of the word are strong consolations. They can sweeten the waters of Marah. Let sickness come, the comforts of the word can allay and stupefy it. The inhabitant of the land shall not say, I am sick. Isaiah 33:24. Let death come, a Christian cannot brave it. O death, where is thy sting? 1 Corinthians 15:55. And is it not comfortable to have such a julep lying by as can expel the venom of death? Number 6. The law of God is manna, and heavenly manna that suits itself to every Christian's palate. What does the soul desire? Is it quickening? Strengthening? He may find all in this manna. 2. Delight in religion crowns all our services. Therefore, David counsels his son Solomon not only to serve God, but to serve him with a willing mind. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Delight in duty is better than duty itself. It is as worse for a man to delight in sin than to commit it, because there is more of this, the will in sin. So delight in duty is to prefer before duty. Oh, how I love thy law. Psalm 119:97. It is not how much we do, but how much we love. Hypocrites may obey God's law, but the saints love his law. This carries away the garland. 3. Delight in spiritual things evidences grace. It is a sign we have received the gift of adoption. An ingenious child delights to obey his father. He that is born of God is ennobled by grace and acts from a principle of an ingenuity. Grace alters the bias of the heart and makes it of unwilling willing. The spirit of grace is called a free spirit, not only because it works freely, but because it makes the heart free and cheerful in obedience. A gracious heart doth not act by pure constraint, but by free consent. 4. Delight in religion will make the business of religion more facile to us. Delight makes everything easy. There's nothing hard to a willing mind. Delight turns religion into recreation. It is like fire to the sacrifice, like oil to the wheels, like wind to the sails. It carries us full sail and duty. He that delights in God's way will never complain of the ruggedness of the way. A child that is going to his father's house doth not complain of a bad way. A Christian is going to heaven in the way of duty. Every prayer, every sacrament is a step nearer to his father's house. Sure, he is so full of joy, he is going home, that he will not complain of a bad way. Get then this holy delight. Beloved, we have not many miles to go. Death will shorten our way. Let us delight, sweeten it. 5. All the duties in religion are for our good. We shall have the benefit. Proverbs 9:12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise to thyself. God hath twisted his glory and our good together. I gave them my statutes, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Ezekiel 20:11. There is nothing the Lord requires but what tends to self-preservation. God bids us read his word, and why? This word is his will and testament, wherein he makes over a fair estate to be settled upon us. Colossians 1:12, 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. He bids us pray, and this duty carries meat in the mouth of it. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him, that if any we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Ask what you will. He will sign your petitions. If you have a friend that should say, come to me when you will, and I will furnish you with money, would you not delight to visit that friend? God will give to more than half the kingdom, and shall we not delight in prayer? God bids us believe, and there is a honeycomb to be found in this precept. Believe and you will be saved. Salvation is the crown that is set upon the head of faith. May well the apostle say, his commandments are not grievous. Oh, then, if religion be so beneficial, if there is such gold to be dug out of this mind, it may well make us delight in the ways of God. What will tempt, if not self-interest? 6. How did Christ delight in the work of our redemption? Lo, I delight to do thy will, O my God. It is by expositors agreed that it is spoken mystically of Christ. When he came into the world to sacrifice his life for us, it was a free will offering. I have a baptism to be baptized with, Luke 12:50. Christ was to be, as it were, baptized in his own blood. And how did he thirst for that time? How I am straitened till it be accomplished. Did Christ so delight in the work of our redemption and shall we not delight in his service? Did he not suffer willingly? And do we pray unwillingly? Did he so cheerfully lay down his life for us, and shall we not give up our lives to him? Certainly, if anything could make Christ repent of shedding his blood, it would be this: to see Christians come off so hardly in duty, bringing it rather as a penance than a sacrifice. 7. Delight in God's service makes us resemble the angels in heaven. They serve God with cheerfulness. As soon as God speaks the word, they are ambitious to obey. How are they ravished with delight when they are praising God? In heaven we shall be as the angels. Spiritual delight should make us like them here. To serve God by constraint is to be like the devil. All the devils in hell obey God, but it is against their will. They yield a passive obedience. But service which comes off with delight is angelical. This is that we pray for, that God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is it not done with delight there? 8. His delight in God's law shall not breed surfeit. Carnal objects do oft cause a loathing and nauseating. We soon grow weary of our delights. Hence it is that we change from one sense to another, from colors to music, from music to smell, etc. Too much delight is a pain, but spiritual objects do not cloy or tire the soul. The more we study in the law of God, the more delight we find. And in this regard, David might say, the words of God's mouth, more sweeter to taste than honey. Psalm 119:103. Because one may soon surfeit upon honey, but he can never surfeit on with the word of God. He that hath once, said Jehovah, found the word and ate it, Jeremiah 15:16, will not be cloyed with it. There is that savoriness in the word that a Christian cries out, Lord, evermore give me this bread. There is that sweetness in the communion with God that the soul saith, oh, that I might be always thus. Oh, that I might now feel I might ever feel. He that delights in God doth not complain he hath too much of God, but rather too little. He opens and spreads the sails of the soul to take in more of those heavenly gales. He longs for that time when he shall be ever delighting himself in the sweet and blessed vision of God. 9. Without this holy delight we weary ourselves. And we weary God too. Isaiah 7:13. Will ye weary my God also? Our delighting in God would make him delight in us. But when we begin to say, what a weariness it is to serve the Lord, Malachi 1:13, God is as weary as we are. He is even sick of such services. When duties are a burden to us, they are a burden to God. And what should we do with them? When a man is weary of a burden, he shall ease it off. Let all of us quicken delight in God's service. Chapter 8. Showing how a Christian may arrive at this delight in God's law. Use 4. For the attaining of this blessed delight in the law of God, 3 things are requisite. Direction 1. Set a high esteem upon the word. With a judgment prizeth the affections embrace. He that values gold will delight in it. We are apt, through a principle of atheism, to entertain slight thoughts of religion. Therefore, our affections are so slight. David prized God's statutes at a high rate. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Psalm 119:10. And hence grew that inflamed love to them. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Psalm 119:16. 2. Pray for a spiritual heart. An earthly heart will not delight in spiritual mysteries. The earth puts out the fire. Earthliness destroys holy delight. Get a spiritual palate that you may relish the sweetness of the world. He that tastes the sweetness of honey will delight in it. If so be ye, have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Peter 2:3. It is not enough to hear a sermon, but you must taste the sermon. It is not enough to read a promise, but you must taste the promise. When you have gotten the spiritual palate, then God's word will be to you the joy and rejoicing of your heart. Jeremiah 15:16. 3. If you would delight in the law of God, purge out the delight of sin. Sin will poison the spiritual delight. If you would have God's sweet law, let not wickedness be sweet in your mouth. Job 20:12. When sin is your burden, Christ will be your delight. Chapter 9. Holy delight should cause thankfulness. Use number 5, thankfulness. What cause have they to be thankful who can find the spiritual delight in God? How did David bless God that he gave the people's hearts to offer so cheerfully to the building of the temple? Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? 2 Chronicles 29:14. Their willingness was more than their offering. So should a Christian say, Lord, when there are out so many pressed soldiers, who am I that I should offer so willingly? Who am I that I should have thy free spirit and should serve thee rather out of choice than constraint? It is a great blessing to have this promptitude and alacrity in God's service, delight of animate and spirit duty. Now we act the purpose in religion. Christians are never drawn so powerfully and sweetly as when the chain of delight is fastened to the heart. Without all this is lost. Without this, all is lost. Our praying and hearing is like water spilt upon the ground. It loses both its beauty and reward. Then bless God, Christian, who hath oiled the wills of thy soul in delight, and now that canst run and not be weary. For thy comfort, be assured that thou shalt not want anything thy heart can desire. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful sermon by our brother. We ask that you would cause us to delight in you, to delight in your holy law, to delight in your holy word. Give us a love of your word, that we would study it, that we would meditate on it, that we would memorize it, that we would place it in our heart, and that we would obey it with joy, that we would obey it with fervency, Lord. Cause us to obey. In Jesus' name.